stopped that. My back got to hurt me so bad. I had surgery, and my back still got to hurt me so bad that I had to stop for the church I was helping out. But it's a good thing, because I stopped in July, and in August they got another pastor. I said, I should have stopped sooner. You know, but anyway, they're doing good, and I'm thankful for that. But then our pastor took a sabbatical and back in August, and I preached three Sundays in August for him. And when I did that, Pastor Boone called, and I said, Brother, I'm sorry, I'm busy. And so he said, I'm going to get you one of these days. But anyway, it's good to be back with you. And if you will, take your Bible and go to Psalms 119. Been studying that, and I know that your pastor has preached on it, I'm sure, a number of times. And the passage we're going to look at is a very familiar passage, I'm sure. If you've heard any preaching out of Psalm 119, I'm sure you've heard this passage. And it starts with verse 9. And it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? If you think of this psalm, Psalm 119, there's 176 verses, I think there is, 173, 176, 176 verses. Out of the 176 verses, the word of God is mentioned in its derivatives, statutes, laws, commandments, precepts, word, so forth and so on. It's mentioned in every verse but two verses. Out of 176 verses. So it must be pretty important. Amen. And so I am convinced, and I'm sure you are too, because I know Pastor Boone is the same way, that you cannot know God's word enough. You just can't. Matter of fact, John 17, you go there right quick. John 17, and I've seen this before, but you know how you read things sometimes and you... It just kind of goes by until one day along your reading, God says, click, and then it just hits you. But John 17:3, it says this, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Paul, in his writings, especially in Philippians, when he's getting close to the end of his life, Paul, you go back and you understand where Paul come from, the zeal that he had. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he tells that in Philippians. He said, if anybody's got any right to boast, let me boast a minute. And he says, but everything that I've done before, I count it as dung. I count it as refuse. I count it as nothing. That for the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. And Paul, toward the end of his life, as brilliant a man as Paul was, he said this, that I may know him. That was his desire, that I may know him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's word tells us who God is. And if we study and read and understand and meditate and ponder on God's word and take it in daily. And I'm not saying just read it just to be reading. Therefore, a long time I would read the Bible through every year. I still do that. But I used to read it through just to say, I have read my Bible through for 1 year. Now, I struggle with reading. I've got some part dyslexia stuff, so I flip things around, especially with math. I flip numbers around most of the time. And it's usually the last two numbers. I'll flip them around just about every time. But anyway. So I struggle at reading. I'd rather draw you a picture any day than to talk to you about it. It's just the way it is. Because I'm better at that than I am talking. But I have found out that the more I study and really concentrate and let God through the Holy Spirit teach me his word, things start to take place and I start to grow and I start to understand. And so the more I read, the more I study, and the more I take in God's word and spend time with him. Because like I said, you can read the word of God, but not really know the word of God or not know the God of the word. That's the scary part. You've got to spend time with it. And so as we look here in the psalmist, as he says there, verse 9 through verse 16, we'll read. Because the psalm is divided up in eight verses because it's using the Hebrew alphabet. And every letter of the Hebrew alphabet it starts the next set of the eight verses. So he says there in verse 9. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, I want to say this about that. Take the word young man out and just say, wherewithal shall a believer? Put your name in it. Young, old, doesn't matter. Put your name there. Wherewithal shall I cleanse my way? Now, I'm thinking of this from the standpoint of a clean house. Brother prayed tonight. And he said, Lord, that I be a clean vessel. And that's what God wants. He wants a clean vessel. Now, God's the one that makes the clean vessel. Don't get me wrong. We've got a part in it, too. It's kind of like the farmer and the Lord. The Lord says, you know, till the ground, plant the seed. That's the farmer's responsibility. But it's God that gives the growth. He's the one that causes the germination. He's the one that brings it forth. He's the one that sends the rain. He gives the sunshine. He causes the crop to come forth. So in partnership with the Lord, I'm not working for my salvation, but I am working to understand him more and more, that he may use me more and more. And do what? You can answer. What is God's goal for us?
Win soul.
Do what?
Win soul.
That's part of the fruit.
Glorify him.
That's the main part, is to glorify him. But how do we glorify him? What does God say he's going to do with us? In Romans chapter 8, verse 29. He says he's going to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to give God glory when that takes place. We're going to give God glory when we win people to Christ. We're going to give God glory. And that's what it talks about in here. All these things that it's talking about as we're studying this part. You'll see those things that you mentioned. And that's part of the fruit from what God is trying to design us to be. God has preordained us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. And how are we going to do that? We can if we don't know him and if we don't get close to him and let him work his work in us. So, wherewithal shall kneel, cleanse his way. You know, I'm to live holy. And I cannot produce that within myself. But I am to yield to the Holy Spirit to allow him to do the work that God has ordained to do in me, that he can make me into the image of Christ. And Christ, was he not holy? Now, I know if you take the simplicity part of the word holy, you're going to understand that it means to be separated, to be set apart for God's use. So we are to be holy. But how can we be holy if we're living in sin? We can't. And so we've got to think on, you know, and Paul talked about, he said, toward the end of his life, he said, I haven't arrived yet. He said, I've done all these things, but I haven't arrived yet. And we have a tendency sometimes to think, well, I'm saved, everything's okay, I'm going to church, reading my Bible, I'm praying every so often, everything's hunky-dory. Well, when we have a child that's born into this world, what do as a parent? You got responsibilities. You look after that child. And you do everything within your power to help that child be able to grow and to mature. And, you know, they got a free will, I understand that. But for at least for the first few years, you are concentrating on helping that child have everything that's needed to grow. Well, when we trust Christ as Savior, we're babes in Christ. What is the goal for us to do? It's to grow, is it not? And we who win people to Christ, what we're supposed to be doing? Also teach them. You know, he said, go and witness to all of them, but teaching them is part of it too. It's discipleship. So we have to have the understanding that if I'm going to walk with God, I've got to have a way that's pleasing unto God. And the only way that's pleasing unto God is for me to do what? Well, he says, wherewithal. He says, what is the means? That's the word wherewithal. It's the means, it's the resources, it's that which is needed to bring to light what we need to understand to be able to walk in the way he would have us to walk. So, what is the means? The Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot produce anything. The flesh can only produce fruits of the flesh, which is not of God. The Spirit is what produces within us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and I can't remember all of them. But that's what the Holy Spirit produces. I can work all my life doing as much as I can, being like Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul the Apostle. He did everything within his power to work his way to heaven. And I just told you what he said a while ago. I count it all as loss. It's no good. It didn't do me a bit of good. But when the Holy Spirit got hold of him and he got saved, then Paul started producing that which God ordained to be produced in his life, the fruits of the Spirit. How shall I cleanse my way? Well, he starts to give you the answer. From the end of verse 9 all the way down through verse 16, he gives you the resources, which is the Word of God. I lost my train of thought. That's the bad part about getting old, ain't it? I had a fellow tell me today, he said he was older than I was. He didn't never tell me what his age was. But he said, we're at that point in life where we have to have some maintenance on us all the time. It's like an old car. You got to work on it all the time. My dad used to say, he said, I'm at the point in my life where you need to take the radiator cap off of it and drive a new car up under it and put it back on. I'm done past the maintenance part. So anyway, the means and the resource, the means is the Holy Spirit living within us. And as we allow him to do his work, because when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. You did. You know, it didn't have to get a second work or whatever on it. Now, I understand there's different powers feelings. I'll get it right in a minute. You know, God empowers me to preach at times. There's other times where I do it in the flesh and the power of God's not on me and you can tell it. So, you know, but the Holy Spirit's still there. And his means is to help us and to work in us and to teach us and to comfort us and to counsel us in the way of God and to speak the truth. He uses the word of God to speak the truth to us. He uses what we know as the word of God is to preach to us. Do you realize that? But when does he stop? It's when we quench him and when we grieve him. How do we grieve him? By not obeying the word of God. How do we quench him? By not listening to him and allowing him to work. So, how am I going to cleanse my ways? He goes into the step. The first thing I've got to do for my way to be clean like God would have it to be clean is to take heed to the word of God. Pretty simple, isn't it? Take heed to the word of God. The word heed means to keep, to take care of something, to look after. It's like the gardener. I love my garden. I was raised on a farm in eastern North Carolina. We always had tractors when I was coming up. I know my brother and my dad, before I came along, they were using horses and mules and stuff. But then the day came when they got a tractor, which thank God for that. I'm glad I didn't have to do that. I loved horses and so forth and so on, but I'm glad I didn't have to walk at the south end of a northbound mule. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm thankful for that tractor. Anyway, I love tractors. I've got two tractors and a bunch of other things. And I have a whole big farm of about 1.6 acres for them two tractors. But I love to plow my garden, tired up the land. I love it when spring comes. There's just something in me because we did it when I was growing up, and there's just a smell about it, and I plow the ground up. I'm thrilled to do that and get it ready for planting, run off the rows, use the planter on the tractor. I do all that when other people are just doing it by hand and stuff, and their garden is just as pretty as mine. But I get to ride, amen? So, I love to do that, and I can have a pretty garden. But I can tell you this, those plows on that tractor cannot get every weed out of that garden. It can't do it, and it definitely ain't going to get the bugs off. So what do I have to do? I have to get out there, and I have to take care of it. I have to go through it. I have to pull up the weeds, get rid of all those things, and think everything's pretty, and the rain comes, and the next day it's green as a gourd again, not from the plants, but from the weeds. And I mean, it's just constant thing. The same thing within our life. Taking heed to God's word. Take care. Take and garden your soul through God's word. That's how we're going to be clean. That's how we're going to walk in the way. It blows my mind that there's so many people who claim to be Christians that does not know what the difference is between Christianity and basically any other religion. Why? Because and how many people who, and I'm sure you know the same thing, how many people that you know that claim to know Christ that has got a secular worldview? And you think, wait a minute. That don't line up with the word of God. Where are you coming from? I've had people tell me this, and I remember one particular lady that told me this one time, and bless her heart, I was a young Christian many years ago when this took place, and she asked me, she said, you go to church? I said, yes, I attend Fellowship Baptist Church in Clayton. And I said, you go to church? And she told me, and I can't remember her church, but it was a Baptist church. And she said, do you have the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, Scripture tells me that I had the Holy Spirit when I trusted Christ as my Savior, that he came and moved in. No, she said, I'm talking about, do you have the filling of the Holy Spirit? I said, well, I got all that the Word of God says I can get. I just don't, you know, I do ask for his power and for his strength through each and every day. No, that's not what I'm talking about. And so she got into going off in tongues, and I'm thinking, you're a Baptist and doing that. But anyhow, it came down to this, and I was talking about Scripture and stuff, and she said, I don't care what the Word of God says. I know what I believe. I thought, poor lady. Poor lady. Good woman. Sincere. But don't ever tell me you don't care what the Word of God says. You know what you feel, because I know this. Satan deceived Eve. And then he got Adam to go ahead and willingly take the role and rebel. And you see where we are because of it. Didn't matter what God's word says. If you do this, you'll be like him. God didn't really say that. I don't care what God's word says. I know what I feel. Folks, don't do that away. Now, I got back troubles and I'm leaning on a chair, but when I'm walking and talking, it don't bother me too bad. It's when I stop that really gets me. So when I get through, I'll crash. But anyway, wherewithal shall I cleanse my way? By taking heed to the word of God. I need to guard it. I need to watch over it. I need to keep it. It's a covenant that God has given me, and I need to retain it in my mind. That's what he's telling me to do. How shall I cleanse my way? By taking heed. The second thing. So the first thing is that I need to do is a complying with God's word. It's what God says. I may not always agree with it. I may not like it, but it don't matter. He's God, and what he says is true. And he's got my best interest for me. The same with you. He wants to bring us into conformity to his dear son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And what was Christ while he was here on this earth as a man, as a true man? What was his whole... I can't think of my, well, yeah, you could say that. Focus. He said to do the will of the Father. Every bit of it. He was submitted unto the Father. Even though he was equal with God the Father. And he had a right to say, no. You ever thought about that? He had that right to say, wait a minute, I don't have to do that. I've got glory with you. I'm on the same level as you. But he thought that not something to be grasped at or something to hold on to. But he willingly became a man. And when you think about what God did when he became a man, he didn't divest himself of his power nor of his divinity. But what he did was he set it aside and never let it be used to live as a man. That's why he said, thy will be done, not mine. I've come to do the Father's will and not mine. My meat is to do the Father's will. I mean, you look at it time and time and time again. He constantly did that. And something else we need to think about. Brother Daniel had been after me for years to go to the prayer advance. I'd never been to one. All them years I was in Snowville, I'd never been to one. I thought, just don't have time, just don't have time. The pastor that's there at Snowville now, he said something to me about it. I said, you know, I'm retired. I can do it. I can go. I would to God that I did it 25 years ago and been going ever since. It really worked in my life. Beloved, prayer, we have a tendency to put it second or third or fourth or down the line. All I can do is pray. How many times have we said that? I've said that. All I can do is pray. That's the best thing I can do. Because you look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a man, how much did you see him praying? Get up long before day and go pray. Go to the mountain and pray. Go here and pray. Go to find a quiet place and pray. He had communion with the Father as a human being. Amen. Man. Old Brother Spivey, I used to have come in church. He was one of those shouting, running preachers. But he'd be running down the aisle praising the Lord, and all of a sudden he turned around and he said, oh, and I get to go to heaven. Think about it. Amen. We get to go to glory. Amen. We get to be with him. Amen. What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. God is so good. How shall I clean my way? First way is commit myself or comply with God's word. The second thing that I need to do is in verse 10. With my whole heart, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Have we sought him with our whole heart? Honestly. Now, I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters. I don't always do that. You know, I like self. That's my biggest enemy. I know Satan is an enemy to me. I know the world that he is the prince and the power of the air and the god of this age is my enemy. But my biggest enemy is this old flesh. It's me. Because it's me that says no, Lord. It's me that says, I think I'll do that anyway. I need to have a wholehearted commitment. And that's what Christ did. His whole heart as a man was focused solely on doing what God would have him do.
Amen.
And this is what we need to be doing. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Think of that. As much as I've read God's word year after year after year and studied and preached and taught, God's word still do the same. I still, like the song said tonight, come thou fount, what did it say? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that I love? Me. I'm prone. And I fail. And I fall. I'm sure if you know some of the things that has come into my heart and my mind, you'd think, I don't need to listen to that fellow. But if the mirror was turned and put on you and the focus on you, could I say the same thing? You know, we are sinners saved by the grace of God. That's it. Nothing we've done, nothing that I can do, you know, y'all are kind and gracious to me, and you think I sing well. I don't think I sing well, especially as I get older and the medicines that I'm on, it causes my high-end voice not to be there like it used to be. But I still have pride. I remember when I was in Bible college, and they asked me to sing at my senior meal. And, oh, man, I practiced, and I was ready for this. I have to be close to the piano so I can hear. And the girl was playing it. Well, when we get to this place where they have our senior banquet and all at Bible college, the piano's over yonder, and they put me over here. I can't hear it. And I blew it. But when I sat down, one of my professors said, "That's all right, brother." I said, "No, the problem of it is I got pride in my heart. I thought I could just woo you guys." God said, let me show you what's going to happen. Let me take you down a notch or two. But don't matter how good I sing. It doesn't matter how good I draw. Sister, don't you draw? I do. We used to talk about that when at camp. I love to draw, and I've gotten better over the years. Not necessarily my chalk talk, but in just drawing stuff. And I've really gotten into it since I've been retired. But that don't get me to heaven. None of the talents that I got get me to heaven. It doesn't, you either. You think of all the men and women who've been geniuses in this world, who have gotten things accomplished and done for us. I mean, we reap the benefits of a lot of stuff. I mean, you think about the computer. I mean, when I was working in computer industry, I was on the cutting edge of the computer industry. This phone right here has more memory than that washing machine-sized computer I worked on. I mean, think about it, you know. I worked on, let me go this way. I worked on core magnetic memory. Little tiny ferrite circles had wrapped in wire running this way, wire running right away, and another wire running through the other thing. And the board was 16 by 16 inches square. It only held 16K of memory. You can what? On a thumb drive, you got gigabytes of memory now. You know, that's multiple zeros past what the other memory was. And if you didn't have a refresh cycle on that other one, you'd lose everything you had. Think about that, and how many of them deny God, who gave them the wisdom and the brains and everything. None of that will get them there. How many people have I heard, and I'm sure you have, brother, well, I've doing the best I can. I ain't broke the commandments. Oh, you hadn't. Tell me which one you hadn't broken. Well, I don't murder. Well, okay. The Lord said if you got hate in your heart toward your brother, you've murdered already. Well, I hadn't committed adultery. The Lord said if you look at a woman in lust after, you already committed adultery already in your heart. But the very first one, he says, is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Who has kept that one? None of us. Even though I want to seek him with my whole heart, this world is pulling me away. Satan is pulling my mind away. Satan is throwing things in my mind, and my flesh loves the flesh. But how am I going to clean my way? taking heed to the word of God, and with my whole heart have I sought thee. I have to have a focus, like you said, brother, a focus like the Lord Jesus Christ on serving the Father while he was here as a man on this earth, and that's what kind of focus I got to have. Third thing we look at. He says, cleansing is necessary, complying with the word of God, wholehearted surrender, consistency in internalizing the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, I've got a lot of memory, a lot of verses in memory. Not like, I'm sure Pastor Boone's a lot better, but Pastor Mike Vest, he's a mutual friend of ours. We always called him the walking Bible. That man could just quote scripture. It just blowed my mind how he can just quote scripture and quote scripture and quote scripture. But what little bit I know does not keep me from sinning. So if I hide God's word in my heart, what's the part of it, of that, that keeps me from sinning? It doesn't. But it's compiled with all the other stuff we just said. Taking heed to the word of God, seeking him wholeheartedly, lets us not wander from his commandments, hide his word in our heart, that I might not sin against God. How often with the word of God in my heart and God and been in a situation and said things that I should not have said, and then the Holy Spirit convict a fire out of me. And I think, God, I messed up. And I need to go apologize. It didn't stop me from sinning, but it sure convicted me about it. That I would cleanse my way, that the next time maybe I would ask God to set a watch on this tongue. To put blinders on these eyes. But us hiding the word of God in our heart, what does the Holy Spirit use? The Holy Spirit is not going to quote scriptures to us that we don't know. The Holy Spirit takes what we've got in our heart and uses that. That's why we need to constantly internalize God's word. Study it, read it, meditate, think about it. Ask God to teach you. Every morning when I'm reading the scriptures, I'm asking, two things I do is I say, God the Father, thank you so much for this day you've given me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And Holy Spirit, God says you're here to teach me. Will you teach me? Now, I don't get up as a genius, but I get up refreshed, and I start to see things sometimes in a different light, you know? It's just different. We get preconceived ideas. We read things, we look at things, and we don't know the whole scheme all the time, so we make improper judgments. When I worked at a rescue mission, Reverend Wilcox used to always say this, before you kick a guy out of here, always get as many of the facts of what's going on before you make the decision. Why don't we do that with the Word of God? Oh my, if we would. Oh, I see this, my brother's sinning against it, and then if I'm doing what I'm supposed to, the Holy Spirit can bring back to memory something I've studied and say, but be careful before you judge. Because with the judgment you judge with is the same as going to be judged against you. Okay, Lord. And how often has I said, you know, I need to tell my brother something. And the Lord says, you better do it in love and understanding that you can fail and fall just as quick as he did. Go to him in love. Not holier than thou attitude. But brother, can I help you? I'm going to pray for you. This is not what we ought to be doing. Brother Daniel's done that to me one time. We got into it at the camp one time over horseshoes. I'm running the horseshoe pit for these kids to play, and I got my own rules of how we're doing horseshoes. And he said, I'm doing it wrong. And I said, but you ain't doing this. He said, but you ain't doing it right, brother. It ain't gonna hold up. I said, we ain't playing in championship for the world to see. We're just playing at camp. So we ngang. And you know how that goes. You got all the kids standing around you going. That's right. Oh my, conviction on both of us. So at mealtime that day, I said, I asked Mike Kahn, he was the leader at the time. I said, brother, let me have the microphone. And I got up and I apologized to Daniel in front of all the kids and said, look, I did this wrong. We were wrong. And we've been good friends, you know. But you know how easy it can happen. But I used to say a particular slang word. Not bad, but it's just slang. And I never thought nothing of it. And Brother Daniel said, "Brother, would you think about what you're saying sometimes when you use that word, how it might come across to somebody else?" And I got miffed. I didn't tell him, but I got, "Who are you telling me this?" You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad he did. He did it the right way. He didn't go behind my back and tell all them other preachers, "You hear Brother Wood? You hear Brother Wood? Da, 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 da." He came to Brother Wood and said, "Brother, that's not good." And I'm glad. I'm thankful. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Keeping one another accountable. Listen to the Word of God. Internalize the Word of God. Commit ourselves to internalizing the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can take it and use it. Psalms 19, 9 and 10 says this: "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." We need to internalize. It's an intentional act to memorize God's Word. And that's what we need. Colossians 3:16 says this: "Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace to your hearts to the Lord." Fifth thing, controlled by the Holy Spirit, or controlled by the Word of God. Verse 12 says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." For us to know and to be taught God's Word, we have to be teachable, you know. As I mentioned Paul a while ago, and as he said, you know, "I've not arrived," you know. Paul never boasted in himself of where he was or what he was doing. He boasted on Christ and the cross. That's the focus, and that's what we got to keep in mind. "Lord, I've got so much to learn." It's amazing to me how I hear some guys and some of the things they've taught me and in their messages, and I think, I never saw that before. I'll give you an example. We had Rich Harper, who's an evangelist. We had him we call it revival. I hate to call it revival when it's 2 or 3 days. You know what I'm saying? It's a term, so we don't know what else to use. But he was in a message. He was preaching one night, and he was talking about Elisha, that he held the hands or washed the hands of Elijah for the many years that he followed Elijah. I mean, he was a servant of Elijah. He followed him close, and he listened, and he was taught, and he was mentored by it. But his job was to wash his hands, look after him, serve him. That's what it's talking about. But after Elijah was taken by the Lord, and the power of Elijah fell on Elisha, and Elisha was walking back and going into a particular city. You remember the 40 kids? It says in the scriptures, the way it says 40 young men come out, or young kids come out. I mean, these were grown guys. These were teenagers and up. And they said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." I never understood what that meant. I mean, I thought the man was bald. And they were just mocking him. What they were meaning was, "Your master has been taken away from you, so who's going to be your protector now?" I never knew that. You see how God does things? Amazing, isn't it? Amen. God's good. I'm dumber than a rock, but he still loves me, and he teaches me, and I'm so thankful for that. Honestly, I'm just old hick come out from a farm. You know, compared to men of God, I put myself way down, and I'm not doing it in a fashion trying to false humility. I'm just saying, hey, that's what I think. But I'm so thankful God chose me and chose me to do what he has ordered me to do, and I'm thankful for that. And it's teaching me, still teaching me, that I may know him. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What does he mean by the power of his resurrection? That the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the Holy Spirit that lives within me, and I want to experience that power, God's power, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and partaker of his sufferings. Now, we don't like that. But that partaker of his sufferings, Christ suffered. Outside the cross. I'm not talking about the cross. I mean, that's horrible. But you think how much he was mocked, how much he was rejected. I mean, here's the very Son of God who can give life, everlasting life, and was constantly rejected by his own people. And I whine and whimper when somebody says, "Who are you, preacher boy?" They ever call you that, Chet? Used to call me that, preacher boy. They call me old man now. Anyway. Partaker of his sufferings. Think about it. That I may know him. This is eternal life, that you may know the true and living God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life, to know God. I'm running out of time. I'm just going to go ahead and read the other verses. With my lips have I declared thy judgment, or the judgments of thy mouth. We need to be witnessing. We need to be talking of God's word. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Do you enjoy God's word and reading God's word? He said, I enjoy that as much as riches. Is that the most important thing to us? It should be. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy way. Meditate is to mean to germinate. And it's kind of like I always used to use it this way. Cows. They got what, 7 stomachs, I think they say? 5 to 7 stomachs? 4? 4 now. Okay. Used to be told 7. I don't know. It's crazy, ain't it? Anyway, I just call it 1. Big one. But what will they do? They'll eat grass. And then they'll go lay down. But you see them doing what?
Chewing the cud.
Chewing the cud. And they do it over, because it goes from one chamber to the next. Come back up, chew it again. Come back up, chew it again before it's expelled. What are they doing? They're getting everything out of the grass they can get. That's what we got to do with God's word. We got to meditate. Amen. Take time. Don't just read over it and say, God, teach me. Read it right quick and go out the door. God, teach me, and do your best to meditate on that thing all through the day. God, how is that going to affect my life today? And you may think, man, when I read the scriptures this morning, it hasn't really done anything for me today. But you just don't know that. It may have affected your life in a way that you don't think about that has affected somebody else's life. And that's the key. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall an old man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall I cleanse my way as God's follower, taking heed to the word of God? That's it, brothers and sisters. Let's stand and we'll be right there at the end. How about that? If you have a need, the altar's open. You come. I'm sure your invitation will be given. And you deal with God. If you can't come to the altar and kneel down, hey, do your seat right where you are and ask God to work a work in your life. Ask him to fixate a hunger within you for him. That's what we need. Father in heaven, thank you again for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for the blessed day you've given us. Thank you for your precious, precious word. Most of all, I thank you for you. I thank you, Lord, that you are my God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave yourself for me. You love me so much, and you hated sin so much that you were willing to give yourself and take my punishment so that I wouldn't have to, so that I could have a relationship with you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Bless now, Lord. Help us to read and study your word and to love it more than anything else that there is. Loving you with our whole heart. Because you tell us if we'll seek you with our whole heart, we'll find you. And God, I know you're eager to give us more than we even think or desire. God, fill us as you want us to be. And as we do that, I know the more of your word takes hold of my life, the more conformed to your image I'll be. Bless in the invitation time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.